Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. My name is Jeanette Abney, and I want to thank you for joining me here for another episode here at Precious Predicaments Blog Talk Radio, where today is Tuesday, and on Tuesdays, that is when we do the show from the pulpit to the couch, where you will receive biblical teachings in addition to speaking with myself, Jeanette Abney, a licensed marriage and family therapist. I want to first thank God for blessing me and waking me up this morning, and I want to also make sure that we remember to keep those in prayer and that those that are in need in prayer. So I want to get started with today's topic. I know I'm already texting everybody that's supposed to be joining me today, talking about, you ready? But today's topic is, do not play with sex. Now, this is a topic that was brought to my attention where a friend of mine, basically a church sister, sent me some information and felt that this is something that wanted that basically should be shared. Because we start talking about sex and we start talking about mental health, there's a lot of different things that either we was given inaccurate information or we are living this Christian life trying to walk right and be guided by the Bible. But then we get convoluted with a lot of worldly information, things that our parents told us, our friends told us, and we kind of get confused. And when I was listening to something that was sent to me, it was talking about being soul tied with individuals. And part of that being soul tied is sometimes we, and many individuals, I want to just say we, but many individuals confuse love, sex, lust together. Because we don't know what a lot of that stuff means, or we struggle with it. And when we start talking about the subject or the topic of sex, it is a topic that, again, both many believers and non-believers cringe when it comes up, especially when it comes to talking to our children or our youth. And I'm learning this, especially in therapy, because I've been receiving phone calls from individuals who this topic is kind of taboo or they feel uncomfortable talking about it. And if you don't talk to your kids or your youth about it, then you will find that there are many adults that are still struggling with this same subject matter. And what happens is if this topic is not discussed, it can lead to a life full of confusion, which could possibly be avoided. There are also adults that can benefit from learning also when it comes to this topic, especially in regards to what the Bible says about sex, because it is not something that you want to play with. So let's talk about it. If you want to call in and you want to join in on the conversation, give us a call at 516-387-1914, because sex can bring both pleasure and pain. It can also be confusing when engaging in relationships, also prior to marriage, as well as during a marriage. So I'm waiting for the individuals to call in because I do not like listening to myself talk, but I'm going to do what I have to do. So let me give you some information as it relates to this topic. And partly because, like I said, it is such a taboo topic that individuals feel uncomfortable talking about it. But I want to give you some information. When we start talking about sex, sometimes individuals become hypocrites, and the question then becomes, should Christians have sex? We talk about people becoming nuns within the Catholic churches, and every denomination has something to say when it comes to this. Now, going back, and I'm looking at some information, it talks about how should Christians either have sex or view sex. Because when we started talking about that, I want to first say I found some information and I found it to be very interesting because it kind of was leading to this subject. And not only was it leading to the subject when just talking about sex, I found something and it was talking about with premarital sex because that becomes an issue too. And it indicated that premarital sex is sexual activity practiced by people before they are married. And historically, premarital sex was considered a moral issue, which was taboo in many cultures and considered to be a sin by a number of religions. But since the 1960s, it has become more widely accepted, especially in Western countries. And I think because I was kind of born in the 60s, I won't say kind of, but I was, that's probably part of why individuals kind of got confused, especially with our parents, and our parents not even knowing how to talk about that. Because sex is also what's considered a holy mystery, because it is a powerful bonding agent that shapes and affects the relationships between a man and a woman, and we got other people doing other things as nothing else can. That's why the Bible often compares idolatry to sin of fornication, sex between two people who aren't married to each other, or adultery, sex between two people when one or both are married to someone else. And it is why the Bible uses sexual purity and faithfulness between spouses as images and our relationships with God. Now, as I was gathering information and trying to put this topic together, I was finding a lot of stuff. And I'm not going to go into some of the things that we've talked about before, but I do have someone on the line, so let me log them on. Good morning. This is Jeanette. Welcome to Precious Predicaments. How are you doing?
I'm doing good.
I think this is... Thank you, Lady T. I appreciate you. So, with this topic, don't play with sex. And you know where the topic came from. Now, what is your take on this? We talk about don't play with that.
What are you talking about from a
biblical sense? Because when we start talking about sex and just the name, just sex, we automatically just cringe, like, ooh, I don't want to talk about that. You know, songs have been made about it. But we're talking about what the Bible even says about sex, because there's some things written about sex in the Bible. But what I'm finding is this is something that a lot of us really don't know about, because I know I wasn't taught about sex. I wasn't. My mother didn't even want to talk about it. And the things she did say just had us all confused and jacked up. So, but when we talk about sex and it being holy, and we talk about even in marriage, there's also some marriages that are sexless. Let me log on to other caller, because somebody else is calling in. Hi, this is Jeanette. Welcome to Precious Predicaments. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you today?
Thank you. I tried to call you back, but thank you for joining us about getting stuck, because me and Lady T, we already on the phone like,
Yeah, you guys go ahead and finish up that question with Lady T. I'd like to hear her point of view.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Lady T. When your question was basically in regards to what position was I coming from with this? Now, when the information was given to me, and I don't know if you saw the video clip, but there was a pastor, somebody was preaching, and he was talking about being soul-tied. And as he was talking about being soul-tied, he was talking about don't play with sex, because a lot of times we don't realize some of the things that we do when we're younger could come back and blow up in our face later on, and sex is one of them. And because many individuals were not taught well, sometimes our curiosity gets the best of us. Sometimes, you know, our friends will tell us that they're doing certain things or may not be doing certain things. So that's really not something to play with. If your parents tell you don't touch the stove because it's hot, we know it's because we're going to get burned. But when parents start and this issue come up with sex, sometimes parents don't even know how to even talk about it. So why is that something we should not play with?
Well, okay, from a biblical standpoint, God made sex for married couple to reproduce. But we know that us being humans, having flesh, majority of us have had sex before marriage. Mm-hmm. But even with that, having sex before marriage, a lot of us weren't even saved, you know, or going to church while having sex before marriage. So some don't have that understanding. But on the other hand, when you do have that understanding, when they say don't play with the sex, and when they're talking about soul ties, that's like in the church, like, okay, say it's the pastor has his wife, but he's sleeping with somebody in the church. And then, you know, you keep sleeping with this person and you soul tie, and that causes problems. or somebody mm-hmm. just in the church period and y'all sleeping together, you know, it can cause problems within the ministry if you're not married, and if you are married and you're sleeping with someone outside of it, because it says don't defile the marriage bed. So if you're bringing somebody else in the marriage bed, you shouldn't do that either. And also, when you have sex with someone, it also says that when you have sex with someone else and you go back and have sex with your spouse or whoever you're supposed to be intimate with, they are also having sex with that person. So that's not okay. I had said to my husband, okay, I'm not afraid to say it. I said to my husband, and he looked at me shocked. I said, if you're going to step outside the marriage, don't come back and try to sleep with me. I said, because I have never been and I'm not ever going to be a lesbian. So I don't want to sleep with another woman. So don't come to me and sleep with mm-hmm. me if you just want to sleep with somebody else. Just respect me, you know, in that aspect. You know, and he was in shock, like, what? I said, yeah, you never heard it put out like that. But that's the way mm-hmm. I put it out. And also, you hear a lot of preachers preaching about, you know, even with when you have sex with your spouse or you're married and you're saved, you shouldn't have oral sex and you shouldn't be doing all this crazy stuff. But, I mean, hey, however you got to do it to reproduce, you know, because God wanted to reproduce. If that's, I think, you know, you can do certain things to keep the spice in the marriage, you know, if it's with your spouse, but not experience mm-hmm. all that with other people, because there's too many things going around. I don't think you should be sleeping with different people, because you don't know what people have. Just because someone is dressed up nice or look nice, that don't mean that what they got underneath is nice. It don't mean mm-hmm. that they're disease-free or they STD-free. It does not mean that. So you need to be careful. And a lot of people don't like to ask, have you been tested? Show me your paperwork. But that's what you need to ask. And a lot of people don't like to ask that. They just hop into bed, whoever they think is attractive or cute or whatever, but you ain't asking the important things. And then once you do that, now you stuck, and now you want to spread somebody's business. They gave me a disease. Well, how you know you didn't already have it from whoever else you were sleeping with? So that's why I believe God made marriage for the married couples. Not that you can't catch none, because married people cheat too. But I mean, so you can reproduce, and that's the whole purpose of it. And I believe that's why he made Eve for Adam, because he didn't want Adam sleeping with the animals.
Wow, you said sleeping with the animals. Good Lord, because you said got people sleeping with animals anyway. But the thing is, and you
right.
spoke on something, one of the reasons of don't play with it is because, one, sexually transmitted diseases. And a lot of times individuals act like these things don't exist, but they do. I have some information, and Tony, I'm going to have you chime in and listen too, because it talks about equipping godly women. And a lot of times it says 7 lies Christian women believe about sex. And I'm getting this from, and it's called equippinggodlywomen.com. Now, it says, did your parents teach you about sex when you was growing up? My mother, having 3 girls, she didn't know. She had us all jacked up. I'm not going to even lie. Even to this day, me as an adult, I still have issues when it comes to stuff like this. Because even as a therapist. Now, as a therapist, I could talk about sex all day long in therapy. But in my personal life, I'd be like, ooh, I don't want to do that. I don't want to talk about that. I change the subject. Because it still brings in regards to what your parents taught you and told you about these things. My mother used to say, if he sleep with you, he'll sleep with me too. I was like, where the heck that's coming from? Or it would be either don't get pregnant. Now, if you're telling your child just don't get pregnant, you're not preparing your child for the dangers that comes with sex being both physical, mental, and all the other stuff that goes along with it. So a lot of times, parents give kids mixed messages. Then my mother's thing was, I'm going to have all y'all spaded. I was an adult when I found out animals, dogs, and cats got spaded and neutered. So she didn't know how to talk to her daughters. And all 3, me and my sisters, when it comes to this topic, we're all different between me, my mm-hmm. middle, and my baby sister. Now, with that being said, it says, did you do a good job? Or did you have to learn most of what you know either at school, at church, on the playground, or even in books or on websites once you're older? Because when I got married, I didn't even know what the heck oral sex was, and I was on my honeymoon. I'm like, I ain't doing that. That's nasty. But we didn't have these conversations. And if somebody don't teach or tell you, many individuals are confused when it comes to this topic. Now, it indicates that it's funny because for a culture where sex is so prevalent, it's hard to watch a show that doesn't include at least references or even what they call, even on some of the family channels. And we really don't talk about sex the way we should. Now, Tony, what is your take on this, especially from a man's point of view with women and how men are, because it was taboo. You don't want to talk to girls about stuff like that, but it seemed like boys or young men, it was like a rite of passage.
Yeah, that's a lot to do with the fact that they have not been brought up a certain way. And what folks have mm-hmm. to understand is the teaching of sexual intercourse and even sexual immorality is brought up in the home. So mm-hmm. it has to be someone who has to guide these young men and telling them the proper way to look at sex. And that's through the eyes of the Almighty God, our Maker, and how He looks at it. And there's many scriptures in the Bible that talks about sexual immorality, and they need to know what is sexual immorality and what is approved by God. So that's mm-hmm. that's where the teaching of those who are the heads of the house. So there, if there is not a male that's the head of that house, then the woman has to take over those matters and teach the head of their children. And especially talk to these boys. Well, they actually speak to both boy and girl, because the girls will think that that's a normal thing, is to be looked upon them or preyed upon them in a sexual manner. And so mm-hmm. because that's the spirit of the world. I mean, look at it. I mean, if you go out there and start walking around, you will see that majority of these young women are dressed like prostitutes.
Mm-hmm.
Really, a lot of that attire that a lot of these young girls are wearing with their rear ends out and their breasts being exposed, that comes from attire that comes from prostitutes. They was wearing that many years ago. And then that made its way off the streets from prostitutes into the homes. And it seems like the devil have all these young girls dressing up in an alluring way. And so these young men can read this in a wrong manner, thinking that this young woman is saying yes and not ever saying no. And so you mm-hmm. have to train that young man inside that home from an early age what the way God sees sexual matters mm-hmm. and how He sees sexual immorality. So it starts right mm-hmm. there in that home at a young age.
But again, a lot of parents don't even know how and when to even start. And even like around, you know, certain things like Valentine's Day and, you know, even when you were talking about the dress, we call it sexy. So we equivalent a lot of things to sex, and it's something that people really shouldn't play with. You don't be telling people, well, go out there and eat all that candy, and knowing that they're going to have to go to the dentist and have all them cavities and you come back and bite them in the butt later on, then they ain't got no teeth in their mouth. You know, so we really have to do a better job. Now, I'm looking at some information, and they talk about some myths in regards to sex is wrong and dirty. See, that was the way I was taught. I thought it was wrong. I thought it was dirty. I thought it was nasty. I don't think I want to be bothered with this, you know. But they say that that's a myth. But biblically, when we start talking about the way the Bible, the way God sees it, and in a marriage, but some people say, well, I got to practice it. Why you got to practice? It's like, how do you even get from point A to point B? Now, it indicates that, sure, it says some of the ways sex is practiced today are wrong or dirty, but sex as a whole is certainly not wrong or dirty. Sex was God's mm-hmm. idea, and it's God's gift to us. There's even a whole book that the Bible devoted to celebrating the love between a young man and his new bride. And when I was getting this information, you guys, I was finding so much stuff about sex and Christian, and I'm like, I didn't even know stuff like that even existed. And they have a quote, and it indicates, it says, how beautiful you are, how pleasing, my love. With your delight, your stature is like that of a palm, and the breast-like clusters of fruit. I said, I will climb the palm tree, I will take hold of its fruit, and that's the Song of Songs 7:6-8. I'm like, for real? And even in the Old Testament, new husbands weren't allowed to go to war during the first year of their marriage because they had to stay home and please their wives. And then sometimes we get it confused because husband pleasing wives, then wives start trying to please husbands. What can we do with all of this? Tony, Tammy, somebody? What can we do with all this?
Good, Tammy, let me hear your point on that one. That one's a...
Okay. Repeat that again, Jeanette.
It talks about in the Song of Songs 7:6-8, and my question was, mm-hmm. even in the Old Testament, it said that new mm-hmm. husbands were not allowed to go to war during the first year of marriage because they had to stay home and please their wives. Now, sometimes we talk about sex. Sometimes young men are taught to please women, but now women are competing trying to please men. But it's like, where do we go with all this? I had a conversation with somebody the other day, and they were telling me. But let me say this real quick. They said, ain't nothing nobody could tell me because at 14, I was having sex with women that was 35 years old. I'm like, what the heck?
Mm.
I said, do you realize he was molested? So in his mind, he's thinking, I know how to please a woman because I was taught as a teenager how to please a woman because I would learn from an older woman. But it's like, for real? So what is your take mm-hmm. on that in regards to a man basically pleasing his wife? Now we got wives trying to please husbands or men.
Okay, well, first of all, the Bible says he who findeth a wife findeth a good thing. So
mm-hmm.
the women shouldn't even be out looking for nobody because when mm-hmm. we out looking, that's why a lot of times we find something and we end up with something we really don't want and we stuck with it. Because we don't mm-hmm. want to leave and we try to save face and all this stuff, you know, don't want to be embarrassed or ashamed, so we stay in the situation we got ourselves in. But if you wait on God and sit back and wait for somebody to find you, and then you do your best to take care of you, find yourself, find out who you are so somebody can find you. Because if you don't know who you are and you don't, you know, you don't know your identity, you don't love yourself, then how can a man find you? Or you somebody mm-hmm. gonna find you, but it ain't gonna be who God sent. You know what I mean? And you ain't gonna want who found you because they may be just as messed up as you. So, you know, mm-hmm. and that's how we get caught up in a lot of problems because a lot of us we like what the Bible say, but we don't want to live by what the Bible say. We want to add our own rules, and we want to follow our own rules, and we want to do what we want to do and think that the Bible's still going to apply to our own decision mm-hmm. to do what we want to do.
Well, you know,
but that's not how it works.
I remember one of my sisters told me, and my sister was very, in my opinion, very promiscuous when we was growing up, and I used to always try to protect her. I didn't even know she was doing certain things she was doing. But when we became adults, she told me one time, she said, you know what? You guys may have thought I was a hoe. I wasn't a hoe. I was trying to find me a husband at the age of 12. I'm like, what the world? That made absolutely no sense to me. But what she did was she equivalated, if I have sex, if I do these things, maybe somebody will marry me. But then now, as an adult, she's so jacked up in the head to even with a relationship, she don't know how to have a healthy relationship. Because individuals
right.
don't know how to balance that. And that's not,
yes,
that's
I went
not
to
healthy.
School. It's not. I went to school with a young lady, and when she came to school, she was telling us, oh, yeah, I got pregnant at 9 years old. I was having sex, and I was in shock. The first thing I was thinking was, okay, where was your mom, your parents, and how old was this man that was sleeping with you, and you don't even have the baby? You know what I'm saying? I'm like, how did you go through that? How did your body go through that at 9 years old? I didn't understand it. I was like in shock. And I'm like, are you kidding me? My mom, she, you know, we would have been dead.
My mother had me scared to death. I was even scared to death as an adult. I'm like, I am a
fighter. Me too. I don't want to catch nothing. I'm scary too.
But you know, but what got me too was the emotional part. See, because when I saw what I saw, even when it came to that type of behavior, it wasn't just the physical, it was the emotional. I would see how people would, you know, either fall in love, and then now they hurt, and then people was like, it's only about sex. It made absolutely no sense to me. Now, this is another myth. Sex is all about fun and physical release. A lot of times, some individuals, and not only just men, but women too, there are some women that they just want sex. And now we're learning also more about sex addictions, too. Now, with that, it says, while God created sex to feel good, it isn't just about feeling good. Sex also creates soul ties or an actual spiritual connection between the two individuals. But if that is your purpose or thinking that's how you're going to become soul tied, you don't want to play with that. Because you can soul tie yourself to the wrong person, the wrong spirit.
Right.
All of the other mess that goes on with it, because within the context of marriage, those soul ties can seem great, but they can also, or they can grow in intimacy and love of each other more. But even as we have bills to pay, our husbands have things to do that we go disagree with, we need to be more careful with who we have sex with. And even, and I'm not seeing sex before marriage, but when you start talking about soul ties, now I know better. I know better when it comes to stuff like that.
Well, let me say that. First of all, God makes no wiggle room outside for having sex outside the marriage.
Outside of marriage.
If he doesn't make it, there's no wiggle room. There's no wiggle room. What he calls that is immorality. It's either fornication or adultery. And if our listeners who listen, we want to make this clear. God's initial purpose was the two people get together and make a covenant, and that's what he's about, a covenant. You made a covenant that you two will be with each other, and you will become one. Over time, you'll find some people who've been married so long, they think alike, they act alike. They so in union with one another, you couldn't hardly tell the difference from the other. Now, you might say, well, why don't you just talk to my wife about it? Or talk to my husband about it. You see, that's how it works, in a sense. Anything outside of that covenant is sin. So our listeners need to know this for a fact. I understand that some of these progressive churches comes up with these sayings called soul ties. I listened to the video you sent. People, God did not make it for us to go and try out one another. Let me find somebody else. You just ain't making my toes curl. I'm going with someone else. No, you know what I'm saying with that? That's the spirit of the world. That's what Satan does.
That's right.
Fornication comes from him. And fornication causes all kinds of things. It causes homosexuality. It causes adultery. It causes families to be broken up. That's what he's all about. And so we definitely want to make sure while in the process of this this radio program, we want to let our viewers know that if you are having sex without a covenant, you are sinning against God.
That's right.
Let's get that out of the way. So there ain't no joy coming from what you're doing from God, because he has given that to those. Now let's get on the pack of what is it does. It is an expression of love between two people who made a covenant and care about themselves. They love one another. Therefore, it's a physical expression. And some has tied it to say, yes, it's spiritual too. Well, if they wish to use that. But it's a physical expression of someone I care about. Here's the other thing is, I care so much about that person that another woman cannot take me away from that woman. I don't even look at another woman because I'm content with the one I have. You ever see some of those people out the other day? I've seen somebody who was married for 101 years. They've been married. They're 101 years old, and they've been married for over 70, 80 years. I said, my God, those are two people. That goes to show you that the marriage arrangement does work.
And when God is produced at that, it does work. When we walk out of these marriages, when we commit adultery against someone, we're telling God to know what you arranged don't work.
That's
something you don't tell God. So there is joy. There is love. There is content from someone that you find that you really care about. That person got your back in this world, and when you fall, they help you get up. And when they fall, they help you. You don't look at the wrong. See, that's what Satan does. The reason a lot of marriages break up is because Satan makes us look at the – start pulling things out of people that are looking at the wrong things at people. He begins to make us to make up things that we think are wrong, and we're looking for a way to get out of that marriage. No. You find me a woman that's living by Proverbs, I'll praise that woman. When she come walking in that door, I'll be on my knees and praise that woman, because I know that woman is doing what God tell her to do, and she doing what God tell her to do. I better be doing what God telling me to do to treat her right.
That's right.
I want to get that point out. Get that point out right there. Anyone who's having sex outside that covenant, you go first. You find out what kind of person you want to get involved with. You want to know, are you evenly yoked? The Bible said do not become unevenly yoked. That means you both could be
That's
on
true.
The same spiritual page. Now, you get that out of the way. How is he good with finances? Is he a worker? He's a lazy person. Now, if you decide that I can deal with those things and you entered into that covenant, don't be making no excuses to get out of that covenant, because you know what you got into.
That's right.
God do not play. He do not want us going around screwing one another, trying to try each other out to see if we get the right one. We can make it work.
That's right. Stuff got started too, is with individuals trying to. Because I've heard people say, "Well, how would I know if it's the right one? How would I know if I don't?" No, you're trying to justify it and find excuses, and then it becomes a lifestyle, and then individuals try to justify their wrong. And like I said, and especially when you playing with that. Now, and if the two of you can find and you start up on a relationship, and even platonic relationships, and you get to know each other and grow together, that is a beautiful thing. Now, I have another caller calling in. Give me 1 second. Hi, this is Jeanette. Welcome to Precious Predicaments. How are you doing? Number ended in 87. Okay. And what do you want to add to the show? Because I'm quite sure you probably was listening to see if you could jump in the line of fire.
I'm going to listen today. I need to learn some things.
Okay, you need to learn some things. Okay, so what did you learn about don't play with sex? What did you learn in regards to don't play with sex?
I'm sorry, I just tuned in, so I haven't been listening.
Oh, he wants to, he's listening in to learn some things.
Learn something, that's right.
Now,
but everything that was said, everything that was just said, everything that he just explained, I'm in total agreement, because I myself, Jeanette, you know my situation. I'm in that situation. So, you know, it's, So, everything he said, I believe it. So whatever is going on, it's not sinning against me. It's sinning against God, because, you know, we're in covenant. And if you're breaking that covenant, then you're sinning against God, not against me. So I'm not going to get mad, angry, and upset and lash out and go try to destroy your name, your character, the church and all that. I'm not going to do any of that, because God will take care of you.
And see, and the way I was raised, and even with don't play with sex, my mindset was different, because I saw the dangers of it. I saw how, because me growing up in a female predominant family with a lot of beautiful women, I saw how they manipulated people with sex. And I was just so against that. And I saw the aftermath of women getting killed and beat and men acting a fool. And that's why I just didn't want to play with it. It was a turnoff to me. Because I'm like, I know nobody looking for me in the daytime with a flashlight. And I felt that our family was cursed. It was horrible. And that was just my take on it because I wasn't taught how to look at it from a spiritual point of view. Even though my mother was in the church, she didn't know how to teach us about those things. And what she taught us was wrong. But it just turned me totally off. I didn't want to have nothing to do with it. I really didn't. You can give me something to eat, I'm good. And I just took mine and gravitated towards food.
That's the thing is about
that.
Because
of what I saw.
When you find a person, and y'all both on the same, right about, first the thing is love grows. When I first got married, we had arguments because I was used to mama's cooking. I just met someone who cooks something that doesn't taste anything like mama's food, so now I have to adjust. I had my own. Now I got to share. And no one didn't tell me anything about that. So we arguing about all these little city things and stuff like that. Love grows over time. You're going to have it may be a little rough at first when you get married, but there's no reason to give up. These things are all good.
Right.
And so you continue to grow. Your love grow for each other. When if one of them becomes ill, you become ill. Because what's affecting them is affecting you. And God is showing us something about what the covenant does. Marriage is the same like the covenant that God made with us when he sacrificed his son. He forgave us for all that's been done against him. And he lovingly did it. And so with marriage works the same way, is that we are forgiving. We're not talking, now I'm going to talk about another subject. We're not talking about someone who commits adultery. You can do that. But that's the only thing God gives you a reason to get out of a marriage because that person has broken that covenant. They have broken that covenant by bringing someone else into that covenant, and he allows you to get out of that. But through the process of marriage, we grow, we love, we appreciate one another, and we get to a certain point where ain't nothing can divide us. The love that we have, the same way the love we have for God, nothing divides us from that love. And marriage is built on the same grounds. And so that's what's so important that people have to learn. Something like we was talking about how people make all these stipulations for being in a relationship and all these kind of things. But love has to grow. You build a marriage. And so...
Who's he coming from?
Yeah, go ahead.
I hear what you're saying. And even when we talk about don't play with sex, I wish I would have been taught not to play with marriage. Because if I would have been taught and exposed to these things at a young age, I probably wouldn't have wound up in some of the situations that I once found myself in because I didn't know no better. And just doing things, you know, when we talk about that, and then it goes back to the soul ties, to being unequally yoked. You know, I remember mentioning that to my last husband. I told him we wasn't equally yoked. He thought I didn't know what I was talking about, but I did. And I knew I had to get myself out of that situation because it wasn't a safe, but it wasn't a cool situation because I'm thinking that it can grow, we can do these things together. But then I realized I was the wrong person. This is not the person for me to be doing all of this stuff with. And I just thank God that we were friends and have enough respect for one another to be able to go our separate ways, but I wasn't taught even with marriage. So if we wasn't taught about marriage, how are we going to even know about sex?
Well, that's the key point. That's the key point that I was trying to bring everyone back to. Notice, this is what the world does not do, what those who call them Christians should be doing. Notice the scripture said, and you should teach them diligently to your children and speak to them when you sit in your house and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up. God wants us to teach our young ones at a young age. And remember, we're never too old to learn. So even if you didn't get it then, you can also learn later on. Is that when we put the laws of God inside of us, we will understand what marriage is for. Sexual intercourse between a man and a woman is an expression of love. God provided this. Sex is not a bad thing. Sex is a good thing in the marriage arrangement. Two people who express a love for each other is something that's beyond, no comparison can be made for that. And so God teaches us to respect that arrangement. And in, when someone does not respect that arrangement, this is something detestable to him. So anyone, he got it all covered. If you do not do it according to the covenant, you do not marry, you're committing fornication. He also says if you're committing fornication, which is a sin, he says that he does not listen to sinners. So when you when you are committing fornication, he is not listening to you until you repent and change your ways. He got it all covered.
That's right.
He got all covered. Whatever way you step your foot, he got it all covered. And we, I love it. I love it the way he does things. And so it keeps us. It keeps us in line. It really keeps us in line on the Word of God.
If you love him and you respect him and you have relationship, it'll keep you in line. But some people don't care because they believe God, but they deny the power and they don't think nothing will happen to them. But another thing you don't want to do is you don't want to marry just to have sex, because you don't want to just marry somebody just because you want to sleep with them, because then the marriage ain't successful.
Well, that's true.
Paul does mention about a, someone who cannot. He said instead of sinning, he does say if a person is having a problem with their flesh, he says it's better that you marry so you do not sin against God. So a person has, but that can lead to problems, just like what you were saying, because you went in on it just for sex, and now you realize you two never really even loved each other. You didn't really even like each other. Yeah. You never spend time to find out what kind of person that person really was. So yeah, you are right on that point. But to not to sin against God, a person is advised that maybe they should get married. But on the other hand, like you did mention. That may not end up too well because you went in on it only based on sex.
It's covered.
We covered on all aspects on the Word of God regarding that. And I just want to drive home a point to folks is God is not to be mocked.
That's right.
We have to be very careful with that. That means that you're not going to make a fool out of him. If he says something, you better believe it. So if you're out there having sex without marriage while making a covenant, you are sinning against God. And that type of sin can lead to your destruction.
And I want to say, Tony,
and it's not that all marry not just to have sex. But I know the last time I didn't marry to not have just the sex. It was I didn't want to live in sin. And that was, and I thought that it could grow. And I thought that this person knew me better than anybody would probably know me because we've been knowing each other for years. We grew up together, but we were different even with our spiritual beliefs, with, you know, the way we social. We were just totally different.
That's ridiculous.
Even though we thought we were alike, we was not alike at all. And it had nothing to do with sex. But
that's what he's talking about at 1 Corinthians. Hold on for a moment. That's what he mean at 1 Corinthians 7:9. He said, but if they cannot control themselves, they should marry, for it is very to marry and to burn with passion or sin against God. But on the other hand, you have to be careful if you're doing it that way. You done made a covenant. You in it. You in it now. God don't want you to back out of it because you couldn't control yourself and walk away from it. I tell people the Bible got the answer for every one of our steps.
That he sure do. Yes,
go ahead.
Okay.
What happens if you're not married? What if I just got
fired? Sounds like Delano.
It is.
What if I just find a girlfriend, I can't let go?
I thought we covered that. What happens if you're not married?
Can you repeat that?
What if I just got a girlfriend? I'm out of the covenant, I'm out of the relationship. What happens to me?
Fornication. You shouldn't be having sex. You can be courting, you can be dating, but it doesn't mean you got to be sexually intimate with one another.
I'm intimate. I'm intimate. I know me. I'm intimate.
Okay. So you know you intimate, now you commit fornication. And now you got to pay the consequence. You got to live with that. So, but then if you're intimate and you. But then, are you trying to make it go towards marriage? Are you trying to strive towards marriage, or you just want to just have sex? Because you intimate, you want to have sex.
You must be losing your mind.
I can't hear you.
I said you must be losing your mind. You're intimate, you want to have sex.
Can't hear you.
There's an echo to when you're talking. There's an echo, and I really can't clearly understand the question or what you're trying to convey.
Is that better?
Well, not for me, maybe for someone else, but maybe if someone else hears what he's saying, go ahead and answer.
Okay,
I can't hear it.
Okay. I said, I'm a single man with a friend, and I'm out of control sexually, and I'm not thinking about getting married. That's me.
A single man. Single man. Fornication. You having sex out of marriage. Outside of being married.
I'm not
and
married.
That's
how you go here.
Correct.
Okay.
We get that part.
Yeah, it's fornication.
It ain't fornication.
I'm just going to tell you right now, you have no respect for God's arrangement. That's bottom line. That's the way I would leave it. You have no respect for his arrangement, for what he has instituted. So here's the thing about it is, it's a covenant. Regardless of how you know, it's a covenant. So once you go and say, I do to that person, you're saying, yes, you do, and that person is saying, I do to you.
I don't.
You are respecting.
I'm just telling you this
for now. You don't respect the arrangement, and that's all I have to say on that point. You don't respect it.
I want to, that's your choice. I want to
read
it. Yep, it goes back to what you say, choice. But I want to read in 1 Corinthians, and it goes from 6:13 through 20. But there's a particular part where it indicates, and it talks about flee from sexual immorality, all other sins a person commits outside the body, but whoever sins sexually sins against their own body. Do you not know that your body are temples of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought with a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. And see, and when we start talking about that, people want to take it out of context and say, but I like it. But that's where it goes back to the topic of today. Don't play with that.
Yeah.
And if you view your body as God's temple, you don't want to play with that temple.
You know,
right.
If you don't have a relationship with God, you're not going to fully understand that because you don't have an understanding of the Word of God. When you have a relationship with God, you need to understand what those scriptures mean.
And the key to that is, and I'm just adding in, I know you guys covered it. One of the major things I used to deal with pastoring was that right there. Man, this is my body. You can't tell me what to do with my body. I ain't hurt nobody. It's just me and her. And I'm like, you can't do that, man. God said, that's set for marriage. And you have to try to explain how that sex is a covenant between a man and a woman for marriage. And you'd be surprised how many people will tell you, I wish I would get married. And because most guys in today's group don't want to get married without driving a car. I got to know how to drive, car drive. I got to know how to turn. I got to know how fast it is. They are not trying to have a marriage without having sex. And it's amazing.
But the thing is too, Blackwell, if the man can teach the woman, because, I mean, of course a man wants someone, and it goes back to what I said earlier, how a person told me that at 14 they was having sex with women 35 years old, like they knew exactly what they were doing. And so now here you taking this woman that may not be exposed to a lot of things, and you don't want to hurt her by exposing her or turning her out and doing all of this stuff now that you're married, because it's still about respect. And a lot of times when it comes to people lose their respect.
Well,
and
you know,
I've always been in respect, Blackwell.
Yeah, but far as sexual respect, it grows, later on it grows out. It gets old. People don't pay that no attention. I know when we were younger, we didn't want the ones who we respected. We want the ones who we didn't respect. Because it was a lot of adventure.
And that's why
the adventure was easier. Huh?
Yeah, it was easier, but even going back to today, look at those people now in our lives. Look at those people that were out there, you know, having sex at a younger age, out there being promiscuous. They wind up on drugs.
Okay.
They either wind up in dysfunctional relationships, all because of the same sex, and they started at a young age. And part of it is
Let me go somewhere. With this, it's gonna blow you away. I've been in the church all my life. I've watched people in church. I've watched people outside of church. I've watched people in the Church of God in Christ. I've watched people in Jehovah's Witness. I've watched people who were Baptist. I've watched people who were Catholic. And all of them got the same problem. All of us got the same problem. Now, here's the case in point. I'll never forget, I went to one girl. And Tony, you know what I'm going to say when I quote this. I went to one girl and I said, baby, wait a minute, we got to stop. The Bible says, unless two agree, how can we walk together? And I said, baby, we can't keep doing this. She said, why? I said, we can't keep doing this. We need to think about marriage. This is not something we need to play with. Well, I ain't into that position. I just want a friend. I just want my world to rock. Nah, we can't play like this. The Bible, and here's a case in point. A girl came to me and said, I don't know no man who has ever came to me and said to me what the Bible had to say. You want to hear something? Not many guys out there are talking about the Bible premarital or pre-sex.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to do it. And it's amazing, you know, because there are some girls out there who are great, but they got to settle for anything because they're trying to get married. And they settle.
Yeah, we don't have to settle for anything. I disagree with settling for anything.
Let me give a quick response to that quickly, just quickly. This is why we have in the Bible of Joshua and Caleb, Christ Jesus and the apostles, Noah and only eight souls. While many are professing to be God, servants of God and Christians, only a few are going to make it in the end. And that's why we have that there. It's what you're talking about, a lot of people are professing. God wants us to walk away from wrongdoing. Let's get that clear out in this point. No matter how good that may feel, he wants us from what you telling me, if what that female is saying, that then you need to get up. That person needs to get up out of that. And I mean immediately, because we don't make law. The last time I checked, I didn't create these fingers. I didn't make these eyes. I have to do the will of the one who created me, and I'm trying to please him. And I understand
right.
what you are saying. It is not that it's not easy to walk out of something that feels good, but we better do it. Unless that person is going to stand, turn around and say, yes, okay, I think I am going to go get married. But that person telling me, nah, I want benefits and I think, you know, why should I get married? It's time for me to get the cracking.
I know that. I remember like it was yesterday. I had to sit down and have a 2-month Bible study to try to get in her head why I don't want to touch her. And then be accused, well, you must be with somebody else. Yes, me and the Lord. Nah, you must be a homo or something.
Well, because that's probably what that person thought or saw and what that person believed growing up. And like I said, and that plays a part because we start talking about what's the point. Understanding God's purpose for us is let's help us folks to set proper boundaries. Because what you were doing was setting a boundary and to embrace what God permits. Now, when we start talking about these things, and like we said, we're not saying sex is bad. We know that it's pleasurable. But with the right person at the appropriate time and in the right relationship, which is marriage. And even in marriage, like I said, because there are some marriages that are sexless. There's, you know, certain situations. But it's like I said, it goes back again. It's something that we need not to play with. We really don't need to be playing with that.
Because right. Let's make something real clear here. Do not have sex prior to a covenant arrangement. That we want to let's let our listeners hear what God wants. Do not get involved sexually without a covenant arrangement. If you do, then you're falling under fornication. You are sinning. So I understand the world that we live in, and that's why God calls Satan the devil a god, because this is the thing, you know, he is the god of sexual immorality. And he wants people to think it's okay to just have it, and then, okay, yeah, we'll get married. I found people who all of a sudden start having sex, and then all of a sudden putting off the date for marriage. Oh, no, you got to meet my mother. And no, I don't want you to be my – no, you got to do this. No, and you got – no. That's just why he have those things there. Do not get involved sexually without a covenant. Then enjoy what God has arranged for two people who have made a covenant arrangement. Let's make that clear so people do not get confused here.
And you know what, Tony? And a lot of individuals don't even understand about that covenant. They really don't. Because these are things, again, that are not talked about. These are things that are not explained because people will, it turns people off. They think people being a hypocrite. They think people are being judgmental. And it's not that because there are guidelines. And when we start talking about the Bible, the big book, because we all want people to be happy. We all want people to live right. So it's not that just people are pointing a finger and becoming judgmental. But when we start talking about that, and even though the Bible, of course, doesn't give us what we call the index of all sexual behaviors, because some people will say, is it okay if you married, if you're playing with toys? Is it okay if you, you know, they start nitpicking that thing. But when you start talking about sex and open, big old Pandora's box. Now, Tony, when you talk about a covenant and to give people a better understanding, can you explain what that means?
I mean, covenant that the Father has arranged for married persons. You went and said, I do. For better or for worse, I do. I am here for you, I do. I will not leave you, I do. I love you. You making a covenant, you entering a covenant, you entering a marriage arrangement, and the only way that God allows you out of that arrangement, it is one commits adultery. Now, person who goes said, no, I don't agree with that. What if he's abusive to me? Well, the Bible allows you to separate from that person. We have no other scripture that allows you to get out of that marriage arrangement. I can only go by what's written down. No other way of letting you get out of that unless that person commits adultery. Now, here's another catcher for you. The person who commits adultery is not allowed to be married again. Mm-hmm. The person who commits adultery is not allowed to get married again.
Yeah,
the person that they committed the sin against, that person can remarry.
Well, I have a question for you. I know we have a lot of time. I have a question. Because I've heard T.D. Jakes say abuse, abandonment, and addiction. Now, you talked about, and also with the adultery, but what about abandonment? If a person abandoned you, what is a person? What is another person supposed to do if they left the marriage?
Okay.
The Bible speaks of that. You can leave the marriage.
What abandonment are you talking about?
If the person leaves the marriage, meaning abuse, abandonment, addiction, and then, like you said, an adultery. But if the person abandons the marriage, is the other person supposed to stay in the marriage if the other person has abandoned them or left the marriage?
Did they abandon the marriage? When they abandon the marriage, did they commit adultery?
One may not know. Maybe they lied and said they didn't, but they don't.
I understand where you're going with that. Then you can leave
if they don't desire to be with you.
No, it doesn't allow you to do that either. The only scripture we have that says the only way you can leave, get out of that marriage arrangement is if that person commits adultery. I mean, I know it sounds, I'm telling you, do you want me to read it for you? Jesus said it.
No. But there's other ways of, there's another way of getting out. He's right.
We don't have no other scripture that says any other way of getting out of that marriage. I told you guys what God has created, made every step made. He do not want us going around marrying people.
That you have to stay in the marriage. The Bible says that if they desire not to dwell with you.
First of all, they ain't got nothing to do with marriage.
That's right.
I know what you're talking about. They ain't a marriage text. They ain't got nothing to do with marriage.
Because it don't have nothing to do with marriage?
No. Read the whole text.
Because but if someone desire not to dwell with you, if they're dwelling with you, it should be according to marriage, right?
No. Let's have common sense. That's just common sense. If you don't want to be here and you desire not to be here, hold it.
Right.
It ain't got nothing to do with marriage. You can let them come back and forth. You can let them have a revolving door. That's to you.
Wait, no. That's contradictory. See, that y'all about to make me lose my whole.
Wait a minute. Hold it.
Do you guys want me to read it? Do you want me to read the scripture?
Hold on 1 second, Tony.
You can read the scripture, but my question is, if the person gets out of the marriage and leaves you, and you're supposed to let them come in and out of the house and back and forth.
Hold on, Jeanette. She said, is it biblical? She said, is that lawful? If you want to forgive him and let him come in and out, that's your choice.
Well, you can forgive. You can forgive forgiving a person.
Wait a minute, Jeanette. That's your choice. But in order to get out of that marriage, according to those days, it had to be an act of a broken covenant.
Yeah, there it is.
You gotta understand the text and the connotation.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to remember something. Most people who committed adultery back then didn't live anyway. They stoned them.
Well, that's true. They did stone them. But see, but now we're talking about today's time. And
well, I'm just trying to help you.
Because let me say this, because I know we're way over the time. But even when we start talking about today's marriages, you have people in open marriages. You have people that are swingers, and they are committing adultery and don't even view it as adultery. They view it as a lifestyle.
Why don't you start reading your Bible more? You'll see it's all in there.
What I found out is most, that's why it says that many would say to me, Lord, Lord, Remember, this is Christians who are saying, Lord, Lord. They do not know that Bible. That Bible do not allow you to get out of that marriage except for one thing, and that is if one has committed adultery. That's what God sees as a broken covenant. So if that man should leave you, and he does not go and get with anyone else, you're not entitled to a divorce.
Okay, but
the Bible allows you to separate. The Bible allows, if you're having problems in the marriage, the Bible allows, Paul said that you could separate, but he do not allow you to go and remarry. Because if you do remarry, in the eyes of God, you have committed adultery. Now let's move forward. If you have done such thing, go to him in prayer sincerely and ask for repentance. Those who, I close this out by saying, those who have had sex before marriage and now you are married, be thankful you did what was right. Pray to God for repentance. I'm quite sure he will blot that out. But those in going forward, let's not get involved sexually unless you make a covenant with that person. That's what God wants. Secondly, you cannot, anyone who commits adultery is not allowed to remarry, according to Scripture. If you're going to follow the Bible, follow it. If you ain't, then just go to church and sing praises all you want to, because that ain't going to matter. But if those who follow the word, that's why I use that expression, 8 souls survived the flood, because they the only ones that listen. That's significant. Only 2 people, Joshua and Caleb, made it out of all of those people that God initially took out of Egypt because they listened to the word of God. The others did not. That's where it's going to end up at, folks. Those who are going to do what the Bible tells them to do and those who are going to do what they want to do and call themselves Christians. The person who the sin was committed, whoever didn't commit adultery, that person can remarry because they didn't sin against God. The person who committed adultery cannot remarry because they sinned against the marriage covenant and the arrangement and against God. Those are facts. If you want to get with me afterwards to go over those scriptures, I'll be more than happy to talk to anyone.
Okay. Anything you want to say in closing, Mr. Tony?
I believe I just did. That's good enough. Yeah, pass it all around to everyone else.
Lady T, y'all can drop the pizza off. She just hung up the phone.
What?
Tammy gone.
Tammy, really?
Lady T gone.
Tammy don't agree. She didn't agree with what I said.
Lady T gone. Go ahead. And I'm going to call both of y'all back when I get off this air.
I don't want to hear that.
I'm not running, but I'm not going to just take a pause. I'll talk to you, Lady T. I'll talk to you. Okay. Blackwell, anything you have to say in closing? Blackwell?
All I can say is he's right about the covenant. Tony's right about the word of God. And I always tell people this. Before you put your word on the word of God, go back to the first time.
Wait a minute.
Go back to the first time.
We still up there, Tammy. You hung up.
Where's she at? Yeah.
Because too many people were talking and getting stuff out of the car because, you know, I just picked out.
Oh, okay. Got you. I think they pissed you off. I said, y'all done pissed her off. She hung up. Okay, I'll call you back.
Bye.
Okay, she ain't mad. Okay, what would you say, Blackwell?
I said, too many people don't understand the covenant, but the big problem again, Jeanette, is we don't know what's in the word. We just don't know. And the problem is, how do you expect us to know sex is a weapon and sex is dangerous when ain't nobody in the house teaching?
And that's most the part, of the people and that's the purpose of the show today.
Well, here's the sad part about it. Most of the people in the church who need to hear it won't hear it.
Mm-hmm.
And like I was telling Tony, I told you that next week they start teaching my grandson homosexuality in the schools.
Yeah.
But they ain't going to let me take my Bible and teach him about sex between a man and a woman is godly. They ain't gonna let me teach that. But they're gonna teach him how to be receptive to those
mm-hmm.
who like him, or you're gonna make me slap you. And I had to talk to him. See,
and that's the problem.
We got too many things against us as Christians, and we won't stand. And that's the thing that's pissing me off. We won't stand.
Well, right. But here's the thing: what God did allow, He allowed us to have the congregation so we can dwell on the Word of God and tell people what God is. We know that Satan is the ruler of this world. Satan runs the secular school system. And that mm-hmm. proof right there shows you that he does that. And so you have every authority in the house of God to preach the Word of God. You also have authority to go out there and preach the Word of God and tell people what God really says, regardless if they don't allow you in that school. So when that grandson gets home, and when you get him in the congregation of God, you have every authority to show him what the Bible really says and tell him this is what he needs to believe. Now, he may have to go through that, dealing with what the world is teaching him in school, but when you teach him what the Word of God said, he'll reject that teaching and knowing
mm-hmm.
that Satan, the devil, is trying to serve him that garbage.
Mm-hmm. Because he'll be like, well, my daddy said or my granddaddy said, and that is so, so true. And I've seen a lot of individuals do that with a lot of information. Well, I want to thank you guys for joining me. I don't know what we're going to talk about next week. I guess we might have to follow up on this, because if they're not teaching it at school, if they're not teaching it in the home, we got to get it out some kind of way. And I like the fact that we have a male and a female perspective when it relates to these different topics, and people are listening. And I can't wait to hear what the feedback is going to be about today's show. But again, it's not something that you want to play with. You want to make sure that you're equally yoked. You want to make sure that you understand the covenant and God's word. And again, this is something you do not want to play with. So until Monday and Tuesday, thank you for listening. Precious Predicaments, Blog Talk Radio. And remember, you got this. Thank you, Tony. Thank you, Blackwell. Bye-bye.
Good to hear from you, Blackwell.
Yeah, I see.
Have a good day.